This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening, you are listening to Love Sport, and this is the Chelsea Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast. Stamford Chidge, we're awaiting Jonathan Kidd. He's not arrived just yet.
Maybe
so
not.
So he might be here. Wait for the door to crash against the wall as he bounds in shouting, Kiddo. But more importantly, Mr. Paul Cannaville joins us this week as well. How are you, Paul?
Good evening. How are we doing?
Very good, thank you. Ex-Chelsea player, of course. Good. Those are the dulcet tones
legend, mate.
Of Paul Cannaville.
Legend.
I should label him a legend, shouldn't I? I should do.
He is.
Absolutely. If you want to speak to Paul, it's very easy to do so. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well. Or tweet us, if you like, at Love Sport Radio. Guys, it's Friday night. The Premier League returns tomorrow.
Hooray!
Chidgey, I imagine you are thrilled to bits with this news.
Yeah, I am actually. I mean, I'm less meh about international football as I used to be, largely because there's so many Chelsea players playing for England these days, or ought to be playing for England. But I do miss the Premier League. I'm very excited to have it all back. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff, Matt. Isn't that fantastic?
It's been a long time.
The trouble is, Paul. I haven't told you. Yeah, I know.
We
don't get enough of them, mate.
Yeah.
And the trouble is I'm going to have to be on the 8:18 train from Winchester tomorrow because I have a Supporters Trust board meeting at 9:30.
Wow. No.
Yes. So it's
before
a long day.
Before the game?
Yeah, man. We're hardcore. Things we do for this club. Matt is looking astonished.
Is that in a pub, like beers from 9:30?
I believe it is, but apparently, we'll be off the sauce.
Yep.
While we're doing business, Paul, we'll be off the sauce. But we are getting breakfast thrown
never
in. Apparently,
stopped you. Come on there.
No, I might squeeze one down, but you know, I might wait till 11 though.
Paul, on that 3 p.m. kickoff, you played in the 80s. I suppose in terms of playing other than 3 p.m, the occasional midweek game, but it was more alien to you back then.
You know what? It's funny how they've changed some of the games, even playing on a Friday.
Yeah, you did, Man City.
Wick. Yeah,
yeah,
I did, Man City. But Saturday, that was tradition.
Yeah.
All games, like from school days, Saturday was 3 o'clock. So you got that in professional now at Stamford Bridge. It was 3 o'clock Saturday. You had your rituals. You met up 11:30, 12. You had your chicken and beans. Got that ready. Got your team talk. Get back to the ground and got changed. 3 o'clock kickoff. But these days, like certain games are now in the evening. I didn't mind in the evening. It's for some reason, whether it was summer, it was warm, but it was a temperature that was just mild for me. And obviously, if the surface was right, if it was a drizzle of rain, ideal for every winger like myself. Mm. I enjoyed it, but I did love 3 o'clock kickoffs. It was something that
sacrosanct.
Nice, yeah,
chicken and beans. By the way, was that religious chicken and beans
for
every
me,
week?
It dissolved quick. And that was for me at least a good 2 hours before the game. And that was just something that you burnt on.
Did you know you've got something in common with Alan Shearer then?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, chicken and beans. That's what he was. Yeah, that was his chosen pre-match meal.
Quite a few people had that. Don't get me wrong.
Not pasta.
No, pasta didn't do nothing for me. It was a chicken. It burnt off the beans. Burnt off easy.
Okay.
Quite easily. And it didn't leave you heavy. It left you light. So
that's where I went wrong all these years. a couple of pints of Stella and a packet of fags wasn't quite the pre-match. It didn't really work.
It's funny, isn't it? Because you're right, Shearer had that. But I remember,
interviewed him about it.
I think it was 1998 where Glenn Hoddle he took it off the diet plan.
Did he really? Beans,
didn't he? Did he really? Beans. He was like, we're not going to have baked beans anymore.
Right.
Because
he
read something into it in terms of the nutritional value that it gave you. But I imagine if you walked into a club now, a Premier League club, in fact, any of the four tiers of English football, and said, I want chicken and beans, they probably wouldn't let you have it.
No. I've seen a connection when I did a little wire burn at Cobham. Sorry, I'm not going to even give no information. But I saw the fish, I saw the pasta, I saw the little rice. I mean, definitely.
They really look after it,
don't they? Look after it. Like, I'm thinking back then, God, suppose I was given that food. How long would I have lasted? Trust me, I think what it was at that time when we was playing, because you had so much time on your hands, we trained at 10 and we finished by 12:30. It's like you went and did something, you got hungry. But what were you supposed to eat? It's like takeaways.
Yeah.
And it was like McDonald's. It was honestly, for me, it was McDonald's. And I never realised that later on, I started to get a bit heavier. And I found out that I got heavier because I wasn't moving more allegedly. Well, moving so heavily, to be honest, where I was supposed to take on a player. And I know I'm quicker than him, but he was still there.
Mm.
So, yeah, what Glenn brought in, don't get me wrong. The boys in. When getting brought in, when I heard that, I think it was ideal. I wish that would have happened early on for us as pros back then in the 80s. I think a lot of, not more difference for the players you would have seen. Oh, being fit, really fit, ideal. Don't get me wrong, what you did at training at Harlan and pre-season. I think it was either you individually knew how to look after yourself or your body. But it could go away with if you wasn't told or shown exactly what to eat. And again, especially on match days, even before match days. I mean, I remember times we used to go away, travelling away in a hotel for the game on Saturday and Friday night. We'd had, it was a plate that looked like it was a mountain. We'd fill it up like that. And you ate that from the night before.
And no one said anything?
Nobody said that. If you ever saw Dougie's plate, oh my God.
How much did Dougie eat?
Oh, but that was a mat. It was like huge. Up here. And he
was a big boy, wasn't he? To be fair.
But you'd think that might have been so much, don't get me wrong, to eat that the night before, you don't know, because I'm now these days, as we get older, you eat over too much. You just feel bloated, don't you? Mm. And next day you feel, oh my God.
Yeah. But I never eat before a radio
show. Metabolism, isn't it? So it must have been burning up you.
I don't. I might have a pint or two, but never eat anything. Don't want to be bloated for the show, mate.
So, kid.
Case you heard any kerfuffle over the airwaves, that's because a certain diminutive gentleman was strolling into the studio, and that diminutive gentleman is Mr. Jonathan Kidd. How are we, Kidd?
We're a bit fraught. Are you
all right?
Yeah, your tube was a bit tricky.
Was it?
Yeah.
Were you
not
battling
the XR lot?
You've been battling the Extinction Rebellion lot. I've been pulling them off any tubes, Jonathan.
Foolishly, I went onto the Jubilee line.
Did you?
Duh.
Yeah, it can be a real...
This is you,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Duh. Oh, no, tonight, no.
Oh, is it? It can be tricky this time.
It's all right.
How's your leg?
Oh...
You haven't heard the saga of the leg, have you, Matt?
Oh, crikey.
Matt's looking a bit worried already.
No, it'll go on and on.
You're all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I was worried about you on
Monday. No, me too.
Yeah.
I was worried as well.
Yeah. He nearly missed the show because he had to go in A&E.
Yeah, I went to A&E. I went to a place where they said, we're only doing triage, they said. I said, but what if we find out that there's something wrong with me? Oh, you'll have to go to hospital. I said, well, I might as well go to hospital then. She said, I don't know anything. I'm only the receptionist. I said, oh, but then why lead me up the garden path and then just leave me there?
So. And he basically said, I might as well go home and do the fan
calls. Yes, exactly. I thought, if anything happens.
If I die during the show, it'll be
entertaining.
That's what
I said. I said it'll be the best thing to do, die doing a podcast.
There you go. Die with your boots on, mate. So there you go.
There you go.
But apart from that, I'm here now.
Good. Lovely to see you.
With the wonderful Canners.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Always with a great hat.
Always with a great hat.
Always with a great hat.
I try to make that effort. You know?
Yeah, everybody at home is wearing a black Peaky Blinders hat.
They can see it.
Peakers!
No, they can see it, can't they? Of course.
Because remember, we're on
cameras.
You know,
really. Yeah, we've got cameras.
Everybody's programmed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Peakers, blinders, mate.
Yeah, great hat. And a great T-shirt, of course, as well. Show races on the red card.
Yeah, today is Red Wear Day. And I did have one red, because I had an interview before, and it was from Love Music, Hate Racism.
Yeah.
It was a red one. And trust me, it's really hard to put on my skin kind of thing.
Wear red, mate.
That's what I'm telling you. It was really hard. And so I took that one off because it was just like I couldn't. And I put this one back on and it shows. You know, I mean, they do a lot of work, not just them, and kick it out.
What was this for today? It's Show Race for the Red Card.
Wear Red Day today. 18th, okay. Everybody was wearing red. Even It's funny enough, I saw the leader, the chairman, oh God, I may forget his name, of Kick It Out. He even contributed today as well. So that showed that routine.
Bit of solidarity.
Yeah, solidarity.
Yeah,
is the
saw
word.
A tweet from Frank Sinclair as well. Yeah, he had Frank his t-shirt on.
Love that one.
Yeah.
Nice t-shirt, I got to be honest.
Yeah, no, when I saw it, I was going on that, so I've got two.
Even if it's got a bit of red on it, it's a nice t-shirt.
It's not a bad t-shirt.
No, I'm liking that.
So I've got my t-shirt, you see, witnesses, they've seen it.
It's got it.
Told
but
you.
It's got a bit of red on it, though. But
it's okay, I think for a good cause, mate.
Yeah, that's true. But
it's a good cause.
My daughter said, oh, Daddy, can we buy a car, a red car? I said, what are you saying? What? Yeah. You don't like red, do you, Daddy? No.
No.
And she also said, Daddy, where are you going on a Saturday afternoon? I said, I'm going to watch the football. And she said, again? I said, that's what you do.
I've finally won the battle with my wife. We've had a red door for about 25 years, and I finally got her to get a new door that's not red.
Oh, so you could paint it.
Yeah, well, I could have done
it. It's so restrictive to life, though. I get it. I get the tribalism of football, but to go throughout your whole life thinking I can't wear anything. So is it just red?
I don't own any red shirts, underpants, socks. You know,
it's weird, isn't it?
Like
because it's the two main teams, though, isn't it? Because it's Liverpool and United.
Yeah. And Arsenal.
Yes, of course.
I'm allowed, and Paul will appreciate this. I allow myself to wear. Clothes with a little bit of red in them, just like Chelsea's kits. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I've got the odd red line
black
here.
Black socks have little
but like
red
totally.
Ends.
Yeah, it can't be too.
So there you go.
Okay. Boys need to know who you support. Trust me.
We'll just bring it back to the T-shirt, Paul. You know, it's been a very difficult week, I suppose you could say, a tough week in terms of racism and football. The news has obviously come out this week as well that Krasimir Balakov, the Bulgaria coach, has decided to resign from his position as head coach. And this is all after him saying he didn't hear anything during that game. I mean, when you were watching that, I was actually on radio at the time and it was just incredible because we couldn't hear what was happening. We could just see it. But what's your take on everything that's happened this week?
I couldn't believe that game. It was tremendous for me to see that kind of behaviour still going on. And deep heart, because watching it, I was thinking, are they not going to do something about it? They can't be playing through that. And I've got to be honest, where we're talking right now, I only found out about the protocol. Yeah,
the three
last
steps.
Last week.
Yeah.
I read it on the Standard, and I went, protocol? And it was funny, before an incident, to start reading that, and that was brought up, and then to know, Monday, hold on, how did the fans are treating like this? Why are they going about this? So to see that, I was kind of agreeing with Tammy when he mentioned like they would walk off. Now, for me, don't get me wrong, it's not just the black players and they're not walking off being militant. It's the whole team.
Yeah.
And I think that was what I saw, what I felt, that the whole team was supportive. Yeah,
yep,
united.
Absolutely.
But it shouldn't be put down to the team, the players, that pressure. It should have been the authorities to make that decision, whether they should come off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I felt like that. That's when I think that they're not being protected enough. Now, this incident happening at Montenegro, sorry, where Danny Rose got sent off, obviously, you know what I mean, accepting that the fans were giving him so much stick, that UEFA, from there, that was the sign, and you fine 50,000 or whatever. But that, to me, was the sign. That was about early April, I think, this year. That was the sign itself.
Well, and when Bulgaria played us at Wembley, Paul, they were doing it there. Their fans, they were giving it there.
And they were just
let
out.
So how are we not realising this and not stepped up?
Well, Paul, I mean, I said it, I don't know if it was this show or the Sunday show I do, but, you know, this whole three protocol nonsense.
Where did that come from? 9 years?
If a team like Bulgaria cannot sort their fans out, don't fine them 50 grand, which is paltry.
Why are we doing that?
Kick them out of the tournament, mate.
Well, if you don't
it's the
have
only
to kick
way you're
going
to stop it.
It's me. Don't kick them out. Keep them there. Mm-hmm. But they're banned. They're not playing no games. But
well,
they're going
same,
to be...
That's the same thing.
Well, to me, they're there. Their name, the team is there. The country is there in the league, whatever group they are.
But they can't play.
But they can't play. It's the embarrassment of the rest of the fans seeing their name is right there. But we can't play because of what? It is embarrassing. They got fit. I feel sorry for them. They're genuine fans. But right now, something needs to be done hard. Yeah. And UEFA ain't doing it again.
No.
And I don't understand this. Don't get me wrong. What is the significance of not... You're a head of an association, UEFA. Now, if they're going above, across policies of that behaviour, then how are we supposed to be supporting and feel that we're comfortable if you're not taking up, hold on, and following that punishment? Punishment like that has got to be heard and got to be known. The whole world was watching.
Yep.
The whole world watching, and they're waiting, well, what are you going to do now?
Absolutely.
And you're still doing the same. So what are we going to feel?
Well, there was a statement that saying the UEFA was intrinsically racist, wasn't there? As a consequence.
I didn't want to say that.
Nothing happened. Institutionally,
I honestly weren't going to say that. Yeah. I didn't want to say that until the announcement starts of it, but that's how I feel.
I mean, to the extent that they even, you know, when they made their announcement afterwards that they were going to, you know, come down hard on the Bulgarian authorities, they also charged the FA.
Yeah. But that was an excuse, because they've got to do something.
Just absolutely nuts.
FA, and if we're going to charge Bulgaria, they're going to find some excuse. I'm
Kick
sorry.
Them out.
But when you say that, the manager, that I was so upset when interviewing him, and he said, "What? I didn't hear nothing." Even though it's translated, and he said, "You didn't hear
rubbish."
No, I took a joke about it, because he must have had earplugs. And if he had earplugs, I wish I had the same earplugs when I was playing, so I didn't hear the racist call at me. But how he didn't hear it?
Incredible.
What ground was
it? He's actually also come out, you know, he said this was a terrible situation, but once again, first it has to be proven to be true. Quite staggering comments there.
Leave me.
We will get onto that more with Paul Canneville on the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport with the guys from Chelsea Fancast, Stamford Chidge,
Hello.
Jonathan Kidd,
Kiddo.
Me, Matt Beadle, and we are joined by ex-Chelsea boy, Paul Canneville.
Evening.
Paul, let's talk a bit about your foundation.
Oh, it's been, you know what, it's developed in from strength to strength now. Started in 2015, finding its way. But now, with the new kind of staff, I say staff, but I've got a new chair.
Kaza.
A
lovely
Caroline
Kaza.
Rice. I needed to choose somebody to take the pressure off me, and she's been doing such a great job. I hope you're listening to that, Caroline, with your brother and your mum. And Gary Trosdale, man's been such an influence. He's just been helping me so tremendously that it's just got strength bigger and larger, that everybody's now asking what the foundation can do for them.
What does it actually do at the moment?
We go around helping, influencing, resilience, making things happen for these youth. Right now, it's been great for me to go out and motivate. And I'm doing that a lot in schools, universities. And really and truly, I'm making an impact. And I've always said this from the day when I was a TA, teacher's assistant, that there's not enough male teachers in schools. And they need, I keep hearing it, they need male teachers.
Role models.
Models. Mm. And don't get me wrong, I've gone in as a TA. Don't get me wrong, the teacher's there, she's done her diploma, whatever, to be that teacher. I don't do that. I'm a TA. I know that I can be understood and they can relate with me, whether you call it street or whatever. I've had that experience where I know I was at school and I didn't take that school serious. So I can reflect now and help this young lad and tell him the reason what happened and why, if you don't. And that's where they can relate with me. And that's where I have their ear. And I'm so enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. It's since coming back at Chelsea, as we were discussing in 2004, it's just got bigger. And I've been asked, it's nice to know, are you available, are you free? And I'll come down, and even speaking to the elderly secondary, still making an influence in the schools there.
You do a fair bit of, so you do the mentoring, I know about that. There's also some kind of football coaching element in
We do.
But you're doing some mental health work
I'm
as
doing
well,
mental
aren't you,
health
and homelessness
work.
Stuff?
We're going to get that going on. Young lady, Monica, from Birmingham, lovely woman, and she's getting me involved in that. That for next year, it's definitely going to be so busy. It's the time where you mentioned it just now, Black History, it's always busy for me, sharing that and going out to establishments and showing off. Because I still find it hard to accept that they keep calling me legend. And don't get me wrong, right?
We love that
legend, old sausage.
I know, but don't get me wrong. I just wanted to play football. Whatever was broken or achieved, I don't think like that. I didn't realise that until now. And like today, we're talking with Chidge, going over what I did and when I played and
we've been doing a big interview with Paul for another podcast that I'm doing. Yeah, so we were talking in quite granular detail about some of the matches, weren't we?
I didn't realise. Yeah. You know what I mean? To me, Duncan was like, it reminded me because I didn't remember. And I'm thinking, my God, I was there? I played in that game, and it's like, wow. And so when people said, "Paul, well, you was an influence to me," and I'm like, okay. I still find it hard, but as such, you know what I mean, to be classed as part of history, black history, I'm just trying to accept it.
So those tags then that you're referring to, so the first black player to play for Chelsea, of course, Paul Ince, first black England captain.
Yes.
Well, we were wondering because we were talking about this, was it Laurie Cunningham who was the first black English player, or Viv Anderson?
I think it was Viv Anderson. Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was Laurie. Before that, before he left and went to Spain.
Before he went to Madrid.
Yeah. And like at the time when we talked about the game, we've got promotion from second division to first. First game was getting Arsenal, and I'm playing against Viv Anderson.
Yeah. Right.
And I know, I was scared.
Canna's retired him that day.
I've had to say, you know what I mean?
Doug Ruby put him into Rose Head.
A hard time. And I was supposed to be scared. And trust me, I went sleep that Friday and I think, oh my God, Viv, what am I going to do with him? That guy can't. But I thought I played well. You know what I mean? He wasn't finding it easy, put it like that. But we showed a balance.
You did.
Of a side that just come out from promotion and drawed one all. It was, yeah.
One of my favourite sides.
Foundation, it's been great. I love it. I love what we're doing. And we're giving back. And that's what it's all about as well. Because there's enough that I think ex-players, even today's players, can do. I really, really do. I think they should have given a bit more time. Not just about doing their football or doing their coaching, but they can go out and visit some of the certain schools, because the schools will be a big impact for the kids, because they see these players every day. They're supporting these kids, the sides, and when they see that individual player, oh yeah, I want to be him. But just to hear his story, whether it's half an hour, 3 quarter hour, is important.
You've got an event tomorrow night, haven't you?
I do.
Up in North London?
I have a black event, black history event. And I'm sharing Dan in Collindale. I can't remember the address and I shouldn't have bought it. Sorry.
Don't worry, Patricia, you gabble on and I'll find it.
And it's first of this month. It's, trust me, I'm a bit nervous as it is already. I've been hitting it, prodding it. I'm trying to promote it as I did. I can't believe I come out today and he's hit me with it and I can't promote.
They're interviewing you though,
aren't
they?
Yeah, I know. So
are they showing the documentary as well, you know, what they made about you?
Yeah.
Here we go.
That's
got all the details.
The documentary, when I made it.
That the Sky Sports one a few years back.
It was emotional for me. And up to now, I don't go and see it. I've never seen it.
You've never watched it back?
I watched it the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's when I had like Neil Barnett, Trevor Nelson.
Is this the thing at Under the Bridge?
Yeah. No.
The Sky Sports documentary.
Oh, right.
So from since then, I've shown it and I've never watched it.
Have you never watched it?
No, I get emotional.
I can understand why, though, because I mean, you've had quite an incredible life, quite a varied life.
Mm.
Do you sometimes feel like if you watch it, you maybe put yourself back in a place where you don't want to be? Is it that, or is it just too emotional?
It's not. It's just emotional that I went through that.
Yeah.
Mm. And how did I went through that, and why did I go through that? And then
Has it got your goals on it? Your goals on it, though?
And your goals?
Yeah, the goals on it. Yeah. If your goals are on it.
Sky made it, so there's footage.
Surely we're going to... You'd be happy to watch that, wouldn't you?
seriously, it does. It really does. Because not taunt me, but it's like, I really realised that what I went through, and I'm just thinking, why did I go through that? Yeah. But we was talking with a colleague the other day, and they said, you know what, you've went through enough, Paul, spiralled. I know I've despiraled, I went down, I got drugs, I got cancer, I got mental health, I'm able to talk about it.
That's the key thing,
and that is the main key for you, like you just said. I'm able to share about it because I've been there.
Yeah.
And when I do talk about it, I'm kind of emotional about it, and I talk deep from my heart, and
Well, people from experience.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
Paul, you know, one. I mean, I work in mental health, but I'm not doing stuff like this. And I do counsel a lot of men, and one of the biggest problems is that men cannot and find it really hard to admit their weaknesses and their vulnerabilities and talk about it. And you're right, the fact that you can talk about it
brilliant.
Helps others to
absolutely.
Talk about it.
Because at stage when I was, because you think, like you just said there, because you're a man, you think that you're inferior.
We lock it all down, man.
We were talking about role models earlier. Yeah. You've become a role model. It's fantastic.
You know what? I keep telling them now, and I show them. I say, look, man, the worst thing about mental health is being in denial.
Yeah.
You have to talk about it.
Yeah.
That is the only way you're going to get some help. If you don't open up, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. You're going to sink. And it's a shame that for you to feel that there's no help out there, there's help. So I'm telling everybody, every man out there, and not just men, women, who suffer like that, please, please, go and seek help. I was a person that wouldn't talk to a counsellor. I thought that, I'm not telling my business to anybody. Mm. The counsellors are the greatest things, people to help. They will hear what's going through, what's going on with you. Mm. You know what I mean?
And they won't judge you.
Nobody. Yeah. It helped me a lot. So it can help you.
Yeah. So when you mention the current players as well, then that you say, you know, it'd be good if they spoke to some of these young lads in school. Do you think in some respects, when you put yourself back in their position, when you were an 18, 19, 20 year old going into professional football, and I don't want to do current footballers a disservice here, but do you think partly they're not perhaps aware of what they should talk about or what they need to convey to these kids? And maybe that after their career, they'll go, oh yeah, do you know what? Perhaps I should start talking to them.
You know what? Because most of the players, all right, coming for a young age, 25, but they still would have known about the background of school. They know the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they would, you know what I mean? All right, I understand that some are not able to interact with kids or interact with people that they're not able to talk as such, but some of them can do. And I think those who can do would be a great effect if they went out and tried. But it's the case of not just themselves. I think clubs should allow them. That time that they have promoting what kit or sponsors, whatever, I think they've got the time to go out to school to visit with their local school in the community to go and just share with them. And I'm telling you, the kids would take note of this. I know they would. There you come in there and see the faces, oh my gosh, and then hear what he has to say, that individual. Come on, man. The day he ain't stopped talking, I'm saying put your eyes, your head down in the books. That boy were putting his head down in the books. Why? Because Terry or whatever player we want to mention, he did it. You know what I mean? They would do that. They would follow suit.
Mm.
That's what I'm telling you. This should have been done a long time. I don't know. Unless something was happening, I don't know. I've not seen it, not heard it. So
his event tomorrow, you can do your bestest voice. So wait, 1, 2, 3.
Black History Month. Oh, God, I haven't got
you got
wrong.
A dreadful a cold, mate. Voice.
I have, I'm bad.
Do you want me to do it?
No, I can do it.
you poked
no,
the
he said
searches,
no. No, I can do it.
Fighting talk.
Go on.
Black History Month, Saturday the 19th of October 2019 at Stay Club, Colindale, 14 to 19 Chalcot Road, London, NW9. 5WU.
How much?
£15.
When does it start?
7.
Who's going to be
10.
There?
Paul Cannavale.
They're going to interview you. You're going to do a Q&A.
Yeah, they're going to do an interview.
Chelsea's first black
footballer.
So we're
going to show that. The film, as you said, and we're going to interview. And there's food on. There's food in there. They're preparing food as well, so you can digest.
You're signing your book?
I am. So you're bring your book.
Yeah, there you
don't
go.
Be shy.
His mission, inspire and equip you to overcome challenges.
And you know what? And this is not racist. Because when a guy texted me earlier today, I forget his name, and sorry for giving that. When he said to me, Canners, I'm coming down there. And I was like, wow. I know they say it's Black History, and it's not just for Black people. Come on, man. When you say Black History, just learn about this. It's not just about Black History, but this guy's a supporter of Chelsea. I'm coming down. I've got my ticket. I was like, you know what? Come and say hello to me. Make sure. So I like that. You know what I mean? It's dude, please, come down. You know what I mean? It's important.
Good evening.
I want to share. And I've got your. I'm ready for your questions. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, this week has been busy, so let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. You've got to hear. I want to hear your views as well as you hear mine. Simple.
Okay? Absolutely. That is the voice of Paul Cannavale on this, the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Stanford Chidge and Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddo.
Hello.
Also joining us is Chelsea, and we're going to call him a legend, Paul Cannaville as
Good
well.
Evening.
Now, chaps, we're going to move on to the current crop and this weekend's game with Newcastle. But before we do that, there are still just a couple more bits of admin,
well,
Chidge, we need to clear up.
You've got another Black History Month, but the big event is under the bridge, at Stamford Bridge, isn't it, on December the 2nd. What happens with that?
That's a big event that's been going now for the last 2 years and been great. It's the achievement from the black players and black players that have been here. We had them last year.
Who'd you have there? Like, Jimmy Floyd,
Paul Elliott, Andy Myers, Eddie Newton. This year, hopefully, Eddie Newton. Look at Michael Dubrick. Please contact us. Ashley Cole. Please contact
Ashley Cole.
Me. Frank Sinclair.
I love Frank.
We're looking at Omid
Jim and Jalali.
And Trevor Nelson. DJ, he's a prominent Chelsea supporter, and a couple more. So it's going to be big. Well,
how'd you get
it's complimentary. Trust me, complimentary. These tickets went out on Eventbrite, No Will of Light, on 2nd of September, in the week.
Sold out.
Three of them.
Wow.
300 of them.
Wowzers.
Did I say three of them? I went, yeah, that might have been hard. Sorry. 300 of them went out.
It only
so
seats three.
We've got a VIP. So if you like VIP seating, get in touch with us. It's pcannaville@yahoo.com. That's again, pcannaville@yahoo.com.
All right.
If you'd like to sponsor one of the booths, VIP okay. area.
Lovely. Marvellous. And of course, on November the 16th, the night of, me and Paul, surrounded by about 100 of our best Chelsea mates, are doing the big Stamford Bridge sleepout, aren't we?
You see, when you're talking about that, see, because you brought up something and we mentioned it again.
We did, didn't we? We did,
about
didn't we,
being
yeah.
homeless.
Yeah.
I know so well.
Yeah.
Because I was. And how it was, you didn't know the next food.
Yep.
It was seriously cold. I was sleeping in the car. So when you see today's environment, it just makes you think, so it's like, what's going on? Why can't we help? Why can't we house these people? It's like we ain't got money. We've got government money. So why can't we help these guys? And not just guys, it's women. It's just
awful,
look at the change of weather. Like, we don't think nothing. When it's warm and hot, we don't think too much.
No.
But when it's cold like these areas, now we start to think, how are these guys going to struggle?
I hate the cold, so I'm not looking forward to it. But I have a new sleeping bag, Paul.
Did you get one?
Where'd
you
got
get
a new yours? One.
And, I'm looking for
mountain,
a sleeping bag.
Some shop in Winchester called Mountain something.
Seriously.
It's a very warm one. With padding.
Oh, well, I'm looking for mine.
Have you got some thermals?
I'm going to be wearing thermal underwear.
Go for thermals.
Long johns.
Can I just clarify exactly what you're sleeping?
Basically about, I don't know how many. We've got enough space for 200 Chelsea. They have to be Chelsea supporters. They've either got to be a member or a season ticket holder because the club are, you know, being controlling, as always.
Which part of the ground are you sleeping
in? I think we're going to be in the concourse of the East Stand, which, of course, is open to the elements.
Yeah.
But undercover.
Yeah.
Blows in.
So we're all going to be sleeping out, you know, in the cold November evening. We're all raising charity. We're raising money for the Sir Oswald Stoll Foundation, who are next door, who look after homeless veterans, ostensibly, and the Glassdoor Homeless Charity, who are, I think, one of the biggest homeless charities in London. And a lot of it was done, as you may or may not know, Paul, really is a kind of a tip in the hat to Ray Wilkins, who, of course, you know, when he died, and there was that that guy came out of nowhere and said that he'd helped.
Yes, of course.
So we know that it's kind of honouring Ray in a way as well. So it's quite special to a lot of Chelsea supporters' hearts. But hopefully, we'll do some good, because homelessness is a massively big issue.
So big, I'm
and
sorry.
Awful. Shouldn't happen in 2019. Mm. Bottom line.
Website for that one, mate.
Well, if they want to donate to me, I haven't. Paul might remember. He'll probably be on.
Because I'm just like.
Well, I'll tell you what I am, and I'm sure if they go to Virgin, they'll find you as well. But I'm on it's uk.virginmoneygiving.com/David Chidgey. I presume uk.virginmoneygiving.com/Paul Cannaville.
In fact, you go to the site and put the name in, and you come up. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So just go to Virgin Money Giving and put in our name.
I was thinking of getting the Jag where I was sleeping in and bringing it down there. It's got space for four people.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
right. Well,
I told
them
put the heating on.
I told them on a show the other week that when I used to go to Glastonbury as an 18-year-old, right, I refused to sleep in anybody's tent.
Absolutely. Right.
I slept in cars, mate, because it was warmer.
Yeah. Uncomfortable, know. But more, yeah, well, don't get me wrong.
Anyway, I went to the Big Chill. went into a hotel.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, you're such a scare.
You're just such a glamper, aren't you?
Excuse me, I was playing. Fair enough. Really, I was in a band.
Fair enough. We move on. Of course, it is Newcastle this weekend. Yes. Six successive Premier League home games. Chelsea have beaten Newcastle. 17 goals to 3 conceded. I mean, that is pretty decent. Paul, your opinion of the current crop and how Frank Lampard's doing so far this season?
I'm enjoying it, loving it. Football's been played and he's given these youngsters an opportunity and playing time. Which was everybody's, quote of last year, that we didn't play these young players at all. And Lampard's given them those chances.
What do you think of Frank's management then so far? Because he's early, he's new in the game, really. How do you think he's doing?
You know what? Mildly, calmly. He doesn't look out of sight, sync. I think he's doing it correctly.
Speaks well, doesn't he?
He does speak well, yeah. But I think, you know what helps? He's got a great backstop.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the help. And that's what he's got in. And he's got these old boys coming back, the Coley. I saw Joe Cole down there.
Yeah.
Doing a bit.
Down at Cobham.
And Ashley Cole. And he comes in there 3 times a week. And those youngsters.
Is Ash doing his badges then?
Well, I would have thought so, to be honest, because he's helping. I don't know which age group, but they won a competition and that was under his guidance. And
I'd bet you he'd be a good coach, you know.
I'll tell you what, why not?
I think
not be so knowledgeable?
That mentality he's got.
Then, come on, Ashley. Come on, man. He's seen it, done that. If anybody can't learn from this boy, something's wrong.
Yeah.
So you've got McAnally coming. Oh, man, come on. We've got some players here. Yeah. Trust me. Yeah. Andy Myers is doing his bit.
Yeah.
I love what Andy does. Yeah.
Eddie's still down there.
Yeah. Love Eddie. Love that. So, you know what I mean? I think there's more surprises
There's a real boot room type thing going on down
Trust me,
which
and I
is
think
really
that is
intriguing
the system
me.
Of helping where Lampard is right now. Because everybody, even myself, I thought it might have been too early for him to come when he came back from Derby. And I thought it'd be too big for him. But you know what? He's come out and he's been doing well. He's done. I like what he's been doing.
Yeah, football's good too. Attacking football,
enjoy
Paul.
It. Yeah, we know what we need to tighten up, and I think you do that when the window opens. But yeah, we get that.
I'm not so sure.
Don't you think
anybody.
You need to tighten up?
Well, it sets a precedent, and that's the trouble.
No,
it says
I don't
you're
think
not quite good enough. It says to the kids.
No,
you don't.
We
think
can't
so?
Know. I think because we do. Yeah, look, we got some an injury. We need a dominant leader. I can't say. If you honestly tell me, who's dominant leader to say who's that captain for us?
Well, I think Jorginho's going that way. I really do think that's
seriously?
At the moment. Yeah, seriously. I think he's
not too sure
he's expressing his personality more and more, actually, because they made him vice-captain. He's apparently fantastic in the changing room.
I totally agree with you that, and I couldn't stand him last year, and I think fair play to him.
Yeah.
Fair play to him. My captain in this side is Rudiger, mate.
That's what I'm saying. He's got to come in.
He's got absolute cojones.
That boy gets upset about any slight thing. He gets upset, and that's what we need in a leader.
There you go.
It's true.
They bought them boys.
Well, perhaps Jorginho's being vice captain is the right position for him to be. But then what happens to poor old Dave if that's the situation? Are we suggesting that Dave might be given the chidge for everybody at home?
We're not like to
does
say
a rather
that.
Significant elbow chidge.
We're not like to lead that way.
Yeah, no,
we're not like to get rid of anybody. But
you know what? Boot him upstairs.
Yeah,
I
like
love
we do.
We all love Dave.
I love Dave. Actually, you know. I'd hate to see.
He's been better the
Who's
last
that?
Few
is
games.
Dave Chappelle.
Because William has been so good. Because but, William has been so fantastic.
You know what? I was concerned about William.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't see. I just thought he wasn't enjoying himself because he never smiled or nothing. Mm. And I thought.
He looks a bit sulky sometimes.
Yeah,
doesn't he?
He does. And I'm thinking, when you do that, you think you want to move.
Do you know what, mate? I know what you mean, but I think we read that wrong in William.
I actually
think that William is an absolute brilliant professional and he has very high standards.
So he
and I think
to
he
do...
gets a cob on when it's not going his way or the team's way or the teammates aren't putting it in.
Right.
I think that he's been liberated by Hazard going and I think he's taken on a lot of responsibility. I love him. I think he's a super player.
Do you know what
I like most? He looks like Jairzinho. Remember that Brazilian winger?
Yeah.
I love him.
I thought he needed that.
Other footballers look like other footballers in the team, Chidge, so that we should be pleased.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about that. Well, we know Alonso looks like George Michael.
Of course he does. Yeah.
Back to the game, Chelsea, Newcastle. I would love to, don't get me wrong, I'm always loving to Premier, sorry.
Wow, Paul, fantastic.
I know, because I wanted
Paul
to get back
leader,
into the game.
Here we go.
And you know what? internationals all over. Don't get me wrong, that's just, everybody's back on the Premiership. And don't get me wrong, I think, you know, when you take some time off, you can get a little stiff.
Yeah.
A little, but you know what? A game like this and at home could be an advantage. Yeah, to get 3 points back again.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
Absolutely. And we will be speaking. I like that. Yeah,
thank you.
From you, Paul Cannibal. We're going to have ex-Newcastle midfielder Lee Clark to talk about that very game next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Well, things we haven't talked about.
Can we talk about what the score's going to be?
We can. Jonathan, we do that on the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport.
We're live.
This is Matt Beadle with Jonathan Kidd, Stamford Chidge and Paul Cannaville as well. We are going to be looking ahead to this clash with Newcastle. Waiting to get Lee Clark on the line. He's not here just yet. So, gents, we're just going to continue with our discussion. And a certain Callum Hudson-Odoi bagged two very decent goals.
Did you see the goals,
yes,
mate? Did you see the
corkers?
Unbelievable.
I mean, that is a great sign of someone who's bang back on
form. Do you know what? I thought the first one was better than the second one. I mean, that snapshot volley. Unbelievable. What a player.
Yeah.
What a player. What do you think of Hudson-Odoi, mate?
You know what?
Is he as good as you were?
I like the way he does.
I like the way he didn't answer that.
No.
He doesn't beat players the way that Paul did.
No.
He doesn't.
True. He does. Yeah, but you do like when he gets hold of that ball, that's his first instinct. Don't get me wrong. But I've got to put my hand out. His instinct in front of goal is a lot better than mine. I wasn't a finisher. And he'll get that opportunity the way he plays. He can cut
in. Is that because he plays more centrally than you do? He seems to come in much more. Whereas you were very much
I was outside.
You were all the time. That's right.
I had to provide that cross for the strikers to fall in.
Was it the Fulham goal that you were originally going to cross and you didn't and you had a shot and it went in? Was that the one?
I don't know.
I remember because I was there.
That was the corner.
I love this. We tend to have this type of chat, don't we? And we might have discussed this last week. Well, just in terms of Paul and listen, as fans and journos, we tend to remember everything. So we remember everything that you did, but you yourself, you're in the moment and you don't recall it.
Because when he mentioned that Carlisle, I was like, Carlisle, was I there?
Yeah,
but you scored two goals.
Paul.
But that was how. You know what? It's a shame that games weren't being televised.
Yeah, I know.
If you understand, and that came so late. For me, that would be memories just to have those goals, to see those goals being played in certain little games. It keep telling me I played against Man United and I played at Liverpool. I played Liverpool and we won.
3-1.
And I'm thinking, who was the players? Yeah. You know what I mean? Who was the Liverpool players? I remember Hansen, and only because I keep seeing him when he was on the sports or whatever. But I remember that the Douglas, Hanson, Craig Johnston,
Lawrenson.
Yes, and now who's the left back?
Beglin
at the time.
Beglin. The right back. Yeah. Who's the right back?
At that time.
Phil Neal.
Was it Phil Neal still?
Yeah, roasted would have him. Been.
Yeah.
Roasted him. I gave him a hard time.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Never came back from
it. Did he not like that?
Yeah, very good.
All right, boss. Yes, boss.
Yeah, but they were formidable players. Liverpool was a big side. And just remind, when you mention it, I think, oh my God, I was playing against him.
Yeah. And beat them, mate.
Trust me, yeah. Makes me feel young.
It's so funny how you don't remember it.
I swear, Lord.
Do you know what? I was on a show with Paul Mortimer. Mortz.
Mortz, lovely. Well, you know Mortz, don't you?
And I found a clip of him because it was the week that United were playing Palace. Of course, lost to Palace in the dying moments this season.
Yeah.
And it had been, I think, 22 games since Palace had been able to beat United in top flight football. And that record started in a game in the early 90s in which Mortz scored the opening goal against Peter Schmeichel. I quizzed him and said, who scored the goal? And he racked off all these Palace players. Eventually, Paul Mortimer. He was like, what? And I showed him
and
he was like, he rose at the far post and he was like, I cannot remember.
I wouldn't be the same. You would have had to remind me if I was playing in that game.
Wow.
Trust me. Certain goals, you played when we played Arsenal. I played when we played Arsenal. I can't recollect. I really can't. You know what I mean? So,
mind you, I've talked to Kerry Dixon and he remembers every single one of his
Kerry
under 93 goals.
Kerry would know where he was, the position, what he was doing. He might have been doing the studs.
Right. Yeah.
He would know every part
Unbelievable.
Of the 90 minutes. Yeah. He would know. That's the truth. In every game.
I've told him, we got that impression previously.
Yeah. How he does it.
He corrects
and
you
and
if
knocks
you come
you off
up
one
with
time.
Something,
yeah.
Doesn't he?
Remember that game?
No, it wasn't like that.
I do. Yes. I was waiting on the far post and that speedy took off the ball off me. I could have had a hat-trick, but don't worry about it.
He remembers the goals he should have scored.
How do you do that, bro? Seriously, he's good. He's good at that.
He remembers whoever didn't pass
yeah,
to him.
Yeah, who didn't pass it, and I could have got a goal.
And he's borne a grudge ever since.
Yep. Seriously. Yeah, he's so funny.
We actually had a good chat with Kerry, didn't we, about whether he could play in the current era. You yourself, as a winger, how would you fancy your chances in football today?
A lot more. I think I'd had to concentrate a lot more on finishing because I do get myself in those positions. But I'm not confident. Instead of like, I notice how I think they place balls when they're shooting, and I'm placing obviously for the stretch over the keeper to pass it. With me, I just hit it,
wallop it,
and think, you know what I mean? Yeah, the speed or the pace of the ball would go in there. And die. But instead of now, these days, they're placing balls.
That one where the left winger comes in with his right foot and places it in the corner was something never remember taking place. It was more
never
that
done.
He'd get into position and just whack it.
They know now.
Do you know what? It's really interesting what we were talking about earlier because, you had some fantastic performances on some absolutely awful, cabbage patches of a football pitch. So I wonder how you would play on the... I mean, the pitches are like glass now. I mean, how would you play on those? Would it be easier?
To be honest, we played a couple of games, the old boys down at Cobham, and to see the pitches on that, and that pitch to Fuzzam, because it was a lot better than Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
And even today, I think it is. But anyway, so flat. And like when you move the ball, you just knew that when you hit it, you knew... It was going well, wouldn't it? Simple as. And I just thought, oh my gosh, if we'd ever played on pitches like this, the boots I was wearing, a lot to say with these boots nowadays.
Yeah.
The light, the measure, the colours, I don't know what it is about the boots. But back then, it was either the Adidas World Cups, it was either your Nikes,
Puma Kings.
Yeah,
I had a pair of Puma Kings.
Puma Kings were the Kings. Yeah. Before we started in them, the Kings.
Kevin Keegan Patrick's, I had.
Where I got that. I was telling you before, I said it today, and when I first I was at Hindenburg, and I just come out of Borstal, got down there, and got into the first team at the age of 16, 17, and the manager at Batsford or whatever, and he said, look, because I was talking about I had these boots, from Wolves.
Winfield, right.
You remember Wolves?
Yeah.
Do you remember Wolves?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big store for us, a great store.
Pick a mix. Never forget Pick a mix.
I looked at his boots, he said, meet me. And I didn't know why. And we went to the Steve Perriman sports shop at the time when he met
Really?
Yeah. And he come in there, go and pick yourself a boot. I went, what? Go and pick yourself some suit boots. I went like, oh, do I pick some expensive ones or what? And I went, I'll pick these little cheap boots. And I said, I've got these. What are you doing? I said, pick some boots. I said, what? And that was 30 quid. So I'm saying, I saw the Puma Kings and I, and I kept going past them like that. Bruv, that's the boot, man. You know when you press the lever and the flap that went over
like that.
I went there and I thought,
yeah, that was so essential. That
trust
flap.
Me, that
oh,
flap.
Wow, that flap.
When you put that over,
So
I put that and I went and I thought he might say no. He said, "Are you sure?" And I went, "Yeah." Are you sure? Yeah. I tell you what, they were £89 them boots back then. And
that's a lot of money then.
You think? And I played.
But
with
they had the flat. Paul.
But what was
they
so
had
funny?
The flat.
Bought them Chelsea with me, and then I was so comfortable. Chelsea got sponsored by Adidas, didn't they? So we had to wear
and
Adidas.
And you weren't allowed to wear them.
Oh no!
So yeah, everybody's got. So I took the stripes off, didn't I? Of the Adidas. I've glued them on up here.
But they used to do that. They used to paint them on.
Yeah,
paint
I had to. Yeah. 70s, there was no way I'm going to until they cotton on. Yeah. Yeah. We had to change them. Yeah, we had to wear
I bought a pair of boots on the back of Charlie Buchan's Football Monthly. Stylo Matchmakers.
Who the arse are those?
Yeah, they were great. They were low cut.
Jazz. Predictions.
It has been wonderful. Yes, very quick predictions before we go. Cheers.
3-0.
3-0 to the Chelsea. Five successive Premier League wins for Frank Lampard, that'll be.
First time in managerial career. Newcastle can't score for Toffee.
Paul?
I'm going to be realistic because I see where Newcastle are. 3-1. I don't like when we give away goals, but Premier is obviously different than international, and the boys must be hungry to play games. So, yeah, I think there's going to be goals. Our boys will be hungry.
4-1. 4-1. And there'll be a ludicrous Kepa mistake.
Lovely stuff. This has been the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Thoroughly enjoyed this, gents. We will see you next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.